Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really setting ourselves a task. We want to properly get under the skin of, well, one of the toughest, most vital fields out there, social work. We're diving into Sally Holland's really comprehensive text, simply called Social Work.
Yeah, and it's so necessary, isn't it? Because, I mean, people really misunderstand social work. You hear social worker and, you know, people jump to conclusions. Either it's just simple charity work or maybe it's those really negative headlines you sometimes see.
Right, the stereotypes.
Exactly. So our goal really is to get past that, to see what Holland shows us, this highly skilled, ethically complex, really demanding professional practice it is today in the 21st century.
Okay, so why should this matter to us right now? I mean, even if we're not directly involved in social work.
Well, because Holland's book, it really digs into a fundamental question, doesn't it? How does a society actually support its most vulnerable members? And crucially, how does it tackle the root causes of that vulnerability?
Ah, so it's about systemic solutions, not just sticking plasters.
Precisely. Yeah. And she argues quite forcefully that even with all the political pressure, the scrutiny, especially these demands for like managerial efficiency, social work is still absolutely essential. It's an engine for social justice. You could even say it's irreplaceable for a fair society. It's kind of like our shared conscience put into practice.
That's a powerful way to put it.
Oh.
Okay, let's talk about our guide here, Professor Sally Holland. She's clearly a major figure, but what makes her perspective so, well, so sharp?
It's this blend she has. It's quite rare, actually. On one hand, she's got the serious academic chops, you know, professor at Cardiff University. She understands the theory, the policy, the big picture.
Okay, the rigor.
Right. But, and this is key, she also has loads of direct frontline experience. She's worked in child welfare, family services, community development. She's been there.
That feels really important. So she's not just theorizing from a distance. She's actually lived the emotional reality and the ethical dilemmas of these really high-stakes situations.
Exactly. And you can feel that in her writing. It gives it this this authority. She connects the big theories, you know, psychology, systems thinking, policy analysis with the messy, often really tough emotional stuff practitioners deal with every single day.
So scholar's precision, but also an advocate's passion.
That's a great way to put it. She's like an advocate who really knows her data.
Okay, so this mix of head and heart, it must shape her central argument. We had to boil the whole book down. You said Holland identifies social work through a really profound paradox.
Yes. That's the absolute core of it. It's this constant inherent tension between providing care and enacting social control.
Care and control.
That tension, she argues, is what defines the job. And it's probably why the public often feels a bit, you know, uncertain or ambivalent about social work.
I could see that. I mean, imagine trying to be a trusted helper, offering support to a family that's the care part. But at the same time, you hold this legal authority. You might have to step in, maybe even recommend removing children. That's the control.
It's a razor's edge.
Doesn't that power, that control aspect, immediately make the care part harder? How do you build trust?
Well, Holland suggests you don't navigate it by pretending the tension isn't there. It's about being upfront, professional, and ethical about that dual role. And this duality, it pushes social work into having this dual focus. You have to work on the micro level, you know, empowering individuals, families, directly helping them.
Right.
But you also have to work on the macro level, addressing those bigger systemic issues, poverty, inequality, lack of resources, the things that often create the problems in the first place.
Wow. So the social worker has to be this incredible hybrid, part compassionate supporter, part skilled risk assessor, and also an agent for social change.
Exactly. It's an art of human connection, definitely. But it's also a science of, you know, systematic intervention. It's really sophisticated.
And this level of sophistication, it didn't just spring up fully formed, right? Mm-hmm. Holland traces the history.
Oh, yeah. She looks back at how it evolved from, say, 19th century charity work. You know, figures like Jane Addams, the settlement houses, they started by providing care, but quickly realized you couldn't just do that. You had to understand the environment people were living in.
Right. And that's the shift from simple charity to a real profession. People like Mary Richmond started emphasizing what structured ways of working, observation.
Exactly. And that helped build what's now a foundational concept, the person and environment perspective.
Explain that a bit more.
Basically, it means you never just look at an individual's problems in isolation. You don't just focus on personal failings. You have to understand how their crisis, Maybe it's poverty, mental health, addiction, whatever, is tangled up with external stuff. Social factors, economic pressures, political decisions, things often way beyond their individual control.
That feels so important. It's like a built-in defense against just blaming the victim.
It is. And it means practitioners have to draw on all sorts of knowledge systems, theory, sociology, psychology, to get that full picture.
Okay, so that's the theoretical underpinning. But how does change actually happen on the ground? Holland seems to really champion one particular mechanism.
Yes, she puts huge emphasis on the relationship-based approach.
Meaning?
Meaning the actual professional relationship between the social worker and the client isn't just like a nice to have, it's the primary tool. It's the medium through which change happens.
And that sounds like a direct critique of more bureaucratic models.
Absolutely. She argues pretty strongly that those checklist-driven, target-focused approaches can actually damage the genuine human connection needed for real progress. The quality of that relationship often determines if an intervention works or not.
How do you ensure that relationship is effective? How do you know it's actually helping and not just, you know, a nice chat? Hmm. This must lead to the skill of assessment.
Yes, but assessment in social work is, well, it's way more than just filling out a form like you might for a doctor's appointment.
How so?
Holland describes it as this really dynamic, ongoing, holistic process. You're analyzing complex situations that aren't neat or linear. It's not a snapshot. It's more like a continuous movie. You need to understand the person's history, their family system, the community resources, the policy pressures, all at the same time.
That sounds incredibly demanding for the practitioner.
It is. It requires huge self-awareness, what Holland calls emotional discipline. You have to manage your own reactions, maintain professional boundaries, but still build genuine trust and connection. And cultural competence is vital, too.
Okay, let's loop back to that central paradox, care versus control, because this seems to be where the outside world really puts the pressure on the squeeze, as you called it earlier.
Yeah, this is where it gets really tough. Think about that social worker again. They're trying to support a struggling parent, offering resources, building trust, that's the care. But they always have in the back of their mind, and sometimes the front, that if things get worse, they might be the one recommending the state intervenes, perhaps even removing a child. That's the control.
That inherent conflict must be immense.
It is, and Holland argues it's made even harder by these modern forces she critiques, specifically managerialism and neoliberalism.
Can you quickly define those for us? What does that mean in practice?
Sure. Managerialism is basically applying business-style efficiency thinking to human services. So you get pressure for measurable targets, quantifiable results, strict risk management protocols, treating complex human situations like, I don't know, items on a production line.
Right. Trying to make everything neat and predictable and efficient.
Exactly. Where nuance and time and relationship building are what's actually needed.
And that pressure, that managerial squeeze, it probably forces practitioners to focus more on hitting targets, covering their backs legally,
than on doing that deep, meaningful relational work that Holland says is crucial. It pulls them away from the human connection that's supposed to be the core intervention.
Yeah, I can see that tension. And because these ethical dilemmas are constant, like balancing a client's right to choose for themselves versus the duty to protect them or someone else.
Holland insists that social work can't be neutral. It's fundamentally a moral and political endeavor. It takes real moral courage to navigate these choices day in, day out.
And looking forward, does she offer solutions?
She talks about the need for constant adaptation, using technology wisely, dealing with global issues, disaster response. But crucially, she emphasizes fighting to protect those core values, the relationship, social justice against the system pressures that try to water them down. It's an ongoing battle.
Okay, that's a lot to take in. Let's try and distill some key takeaways.
Yeah.
If you only remember a few things from our dive into Holland's work, maybe these are the ones. First, that inescapable paradox, care and control. It's not a flaw. It's the defining feature. It helps explain why people sometimes view the profession with uncertainty. And maybe a reflection for you listening. Where in your own life or work do you have to hold two seemingly contradictory but essential responsibilities at the same time?
Yeah, that's a good one. Second takeaway, social justice is absolutely core to professional identity. Holland makes it clear, commitment to equity, challenging oppression, it's not optional. It has to inform every single decision. So professional accountability isn't just about being competent. It actually requires actively pushing back against unfair systems. That's a lesson, I think, that applies to any organization trying to be ethical.
Definitely. And third, the need to navigate uncertainty and complexity. Holland talks about wicked problems issues with no single right answer. This is a huge argument against relying too much on simple rules or checklists. So maybe the reflection here is, in your own complex situations, value your critical thinking, your nuanced judgment. Recognize when simple procedures aren't enough, and sometimes you just have to tolerate ambiguity to find the most ethical path forward.
And Holland expresses these complex ideas so well. She has some really memorable ways of putting things, like this one on changing systems. Social work is not merely about helping individuals cope with their circumstances, but about changing the circumstances that create the need for coping.
Boom. That just reframes everything, doesn't it? From fixing
right.
people to fixing systems.
Right. And then, emphasizing the human element, the relationship is the intervention. Simple, but profound. Success hangs on that bond, not just the technique.
Yeah.
And finally, bringing it all together, the feeling, the thinking, the doing. Effective social work requires the integration of heart, head, and hand, compassion, knowledge, and skill.
That's beautifully put. Heart, head, and hand. And these ideas, they really do stretch beyond social work practice itself. For personal growth, for instance, her emphasis on cultural humility and self-awareness, thinking about our own biases, our own assumptions, how power works in our relationships, that's useful for anyone.
Absolutely. That whole process of self-reflection, trying to build empathy, understanding power dynamics, it can improve any relationship, personal or professional.
And what about for people in, say, management or leadership roles?
Well, that systematic process social workers use, assessment, planning, intervention, evaluation, it's basically a masterclass in human-centered design.
How so?
You can apply that same thinking in healthcare, education, even business, to design services that actually focus on the person's needs and context their person and environment rather than just what's easiest operationally.
That makes sense. And finally, for just, you know, being an engaged citizen.
Holland touches on community organizing. Those principles, finding out what's needed, bringing people together, building coalitions, if you care about making change locally, whether volunteering or campaigning, those skills are incredibly valuable for making a real impact.
So reflecting on the book overall, what surprised you the most, maybe?
I think it was the realization that the profession's true value lies precisely in navigating that complexity, that tension. It's not about finding easy answers. It's about having the moral courage, the intellectual humility, and just the sheer determination to stay human-focused when the system pushes you towards bureaucracy.
Yeah, that resonates. For me, what I really loved was Holland's fierce, clear defense of relationship-based practice. Mm-hmm. It feels like such an important pushback against this constant drive for efficiency above all else, which can be so dehumanizing in public services. It's really a defense of, practicing humanity.
Well said. Holland's work really shows us that social work is, in a way, humanity's organized effort to care for its own, to combine compassion with systematic action. So maybe the final thought for you, the listener, is how can you, in your own world, your own sphere of influence, contribute to that effort? How can you help combine compassion with thoughtful action to build a more just society?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.